invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes,
beginning with chapter 1 in just a few minutes, beginning 13th verse. And we're very, very delighted to have you, especially our guest, as Adam said. We're very delighted and honored to have you today. I want to, first of all, wish Joel well as he leaves our family, enters into BASIC. And I want to thank you, and also thank David McDaniel, who is visiting with us today, for serving our country. I trust today, however, that our most honored guest is the one who we call our Lord and Savior, who made the supreme sacrifice that we might have the ultimate freedom, freedom from sin, redemption, and the hope of eternal life. And it's for Him that we have come today to worship and honor our God and our Lord and our Savior. I want to begin reading in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 13, where the preacher gives us an interesting view of life. He said, I set my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised. And I've seen all the works that are under the sun. Indeed, all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I commune with my heart, saying, look, I have obtained greatness and gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge, and I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive this is also grasping for the wind, for in much wisdom is grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. A rather dismal view of life, and a pessimistic view of life that the preacher begins with. That life is disheartening, that life is just not fair, that the crooked things are not made straight, and those things that are wanting are not increased. Then turn with me to the ninth chapter, because we find the same theme in the same book, this time Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and beginning with the 11th verse, where again Solomon says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. This wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no one remembered the same poor man. And then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Again, the view is that life just isn't fair. That here was a city was seized by a great king. And there was a poor man, wise man, that delivered that city, but no one remembered him, nor did they even remember his words, simply because he was poor. You know, we have in our Declaration of Independence that all men were created equal. Is that really true? What do we mean by that? It is true that all men have something in common. That is, that they're all human beings. But the reality is that when I begin to look at life, I see inequities there. Oh, I wish I had the rain to sing tenor, but I don't. I wish I had the rain to really sing bass, but for some reason, I was made a baritone. I don't have that range. I wish I could hit a golf ball with some consistency. Most of the time, when I hit it, it rolls on the ground. I can't do it. The reality is that we recognize that we all have different abilities and different talents. You remember when Ann Richards said he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And of course, that was a political thing. But what was the implication of that? The implication is that we're not equal. The reality is that if you're born in America, to some degree you've been born with a silver spoon in your mouth. We're very blessed in comparison to many others in the world. And yet not all would say that. Ask a fellow named Randy Nelson, who several years ago had dreamed, his lifelong dream was to play hockey. But yet, in the first collegiate game of his collegiate career, he slammed into the boards and broke a vertebra in his back and now is a quadriplegic. The reality is that life is not always fair. And I've observed this when it comes to work. I go back to when my boy was young and I was the secretary of the soccer association. I realized then what I have learned to come to understand with regard whether it's the soccer association or the homeowners association or sometimes even the local church, that there are usually only a few that do most of the work. That the reality is that life isn't fair. And yet when you begin to add to that the complexities of man. Because you see, man, God placed in this world a law of sowing and reaping. You remember the words of Hosea the prophet to Israel? Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of flies because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men. In fact, in the 8th chapter, he would say, you have sown the wind and reaped the whirlwind. The fact is that in the law of sowing and reaping, that sometimes we sort of get what we deserve. We sow the seeds of promiscuity or drug abuse. Sometimes people get what they had coming, in a sense. Or when they sow the seeds of the bitter tongue, they may destroy a family or destroy a local church or sometimes even destroy a nation. The fact is that we even add to the complexity of life and say, well, you know, it just isn't fair. And with regard to the laws of sowing and reaping, the Apostle Paul would add, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And thus, after David would commit adultery with Bathsheba and then murder, Nathan the prophet would come and say, you've given the enemies of God occasion to blaspheme. And therefore also the sword will no longer depart from your family. And yet, you remember the story of Job? You know, in the book of Job, there was this interview between God and Satan. And Satan answered the Lord and said, incriminating the very faithfulness of God and also incriminating the very character of Job, says, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased the land. And so, God allowed Satan to destroy all that Job had. He took away his family and all his possessions. And yet in all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he charge God foolishly. And what do we say? Well, life just isn't fair. It's just not fair. I remember when I was a boy, I've told this story before, when I was on the elementary school playground and the coach had said, okay, you two guys be the captains. And I want you to choose up teams and I want you to go out there and play some touch football. And so we all went out there to have our football game and I went out for a pass and I was wide open and the guy threw in the pass and I ran for a touchdown. And when I came back to the huddle, they said, ah, this isn't a touchdown. This can't be. I mean, after all, we know George can't catch a football. We know it can't happen. Somebody on your side was offside. We're going to have to cancel the play. And so they did, and I learned a very simple lesson that life isn't always fair. You know, this was the observation made by Gideon, although Israel exactly wasn't all that they should be. Gideon said, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all His miracles and which our fathers have told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midians." Where is God in all of this? God, don't you understand that life isn't fair, that life is very discouraging, that the crooked things are never made straight, and that the things that are wanting are never numbered or never increased? If we begin to look at all of this, we become very discouraged, do we not? But there's something that we need to remember. Something that we've talked about in many of the songs that we've uttered today by our beautiful voices. That while life isn't fair, God is. Great is thy faithfulness. That an all-knowing God, God knows what is best. For example, life may not seem fair, but number one, God remembers when others do not. Look with me in the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And notice what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 6 and beginning with verse 10. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Bear in mind that first of all, he is writing to a people that are on the brink of apostasy. Some have fallen away. Others who are staying with the faith are in the midst of persecution. They may even think, well, the price is too high, for no one cares. Like the poor wise man, no one acknowledges his wisdom. No one sees me. No one understands or sees what I am doing. You ever feel that way? Why I give all of this work and labor to God and no one acknowledges, not even a thank you. But God doesn't forget. The one who really counts, God remembers. He says, "I will not forget your work and your labor of love." While others may not say thank you, God remembers. And furthermore, while life isn't fair, God provides an escape from temptation. The Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter in verse 13, makes this observation. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, he says, "No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." God is faithful. Someone said, "Well, you'll have to excuse me, because I'm just sort of different from everybody else. The things that plague me, the temptations that I have, are not like anyone else." Wrong. Paul says, what you're tempted with is common to men. Whether it's alcohol or drugs or the bitter tongue or promiscuity or whatever it is, God is faithful. And God gives a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Oh, we say life isn't fair, but God is. And the fact is that God does indeed give us a choice and a way of escape that we may be able to bear that temptation. Well, life isn't fair, but God is. Because you see, God rewards according to ability. Now turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. The Apostle Paul was speaking concerning a gift for needy saints in Jerusalem. He is exhorting the Corinthian brethren to participate in this gift. And he makes this observation in the 12th verse. He says, "For if there is a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. Now, I don't think most of us have that problem. I think most of us have more than we realize. But he says, God accepts according to what a man has. But what about the Macedonians? He refers to the Macedonians in the third verse and he says, I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they are freely willing to participate. Corinth may send that wonderful, nice, big, large gift to Jerusalem, but the poor Macedonians, will they even receive a thank you note? Will they even be acknowledged? God did. God acknowledges them. God knew what they were doing. God is fair. And God is faithful. Or in the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew chapter 25. You remember the parable of the talents? Matthew chapter 25, and beginning with the 14th verse, Jesus tells the parable of the talents. To one was given 5 talents, another 2, to another 1. And God charged them, or the servant, or the master, they were charged with to take that talent and to invest it that it might increase. The one with 5 increased and doubled his talent. The one with 2 increased and doubled his talent, but the one with 1 went and buried that talent in the earth. You know, it's just not fair. There are some that just have a greater advantage. Some have such a great mind, the photographic memory. They're able to read and remember the first time they read it. That's not fair. And they have the great ability to get before audiences and to turn a phrase. Oh, I wish I had that ability. But life isn't fair. But the fact is, that what does Jesus say about these men of talent? That the Lord would say the same thing to the one who had 5. He would say the same to the one who had 2. He would say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. One may have a great ability to turn a phrase. Another may not. But both devout men, both devoted to God. And while one may be acknowledged because of his talent in this life, the reality is that on the judgment day, in the final analysis, the only one that really counts is God. And God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And God would have said the same thing to that one talent man. But he didn't follow and wasn't faithful to his master. And so, while life isn't fair, God is fair, and God is faithful. In fact, He accepts according to what you have, as we read in 2 Corinthians 8. And God does not forget the small things. The small things that we may think are insignificant. The one word of encouragement. The phone call. The card that was written. An invitation to come and worship with us. An invitation to come and to study the Bible. God notices all the small things. And in God's kingdom, there is room for everyone. And there is work and something for everyone to do. While life may not be fair, in God's court, it's all just. It's all good. In fact, while life isn't fair, the reality is that God judges fairly and impartially. In the book of Romans, the 3rd chapter, the Apostle Paul is speaking about the reality of sin. In Romans chapter 3, and first of all, beginning with verse 9. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, Paul says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged that both Jews and Greeks, they are all under sin. Oh, God's not going to let you off the hook because you're a Jew. No, all are sinful. Both Jews and Gentiles, they're all under sin. And furthermore, in verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Because the reality is that all men sin and come short of the glory of God in God's court. And therefore, all men need the grace of God and the redemption provided through Jesus. And in the second chapter of Romans, in Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, notice what Paul says. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. So we have differing scenarios in life. But ultimately, to the faithful, one crown. And we have different scenarios in life, but ultimately, one punishment to those who are self-seeking. And one crown and one reward who devote their life to God. God is fair. He is not influenced by a station of man or status of life. He is not influenced by the talent that one may or may not have. He is only influenced by our devotion and faithfulness and desire to serve Him and to make His Son the Lord and Master of our life. So when I look at life, I see all the inequities. And if I stop there like Solomon, I become rather discouraged. Because the crooked places are not made straight, and the things that are wanting are not numbered. It all seems unjust. But when I look to God, I can sing, "Great is Thy faithfulness. All that I have needed, You provided. Everything that I need, You provide. The Lord is my shepherd, and in Him I shall not want." I can be thankful that a just God rules this world. And while I look at life and all the temporary things, ultimately, I must look to that eternal God. In fact, Solomon ends the book in this way. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all, or the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including everything, whether good or evil." First of all, there is consolation in that, because what Solomon tells me is that one day God is going to make it all right. He's going to right all the wrongs. But also there's something very sobering about that thought. Every one of us are going to stand before that judge. No one will miss that appointment. No one. But God has made provision so that we can be prepared for that day. In fact, in one of the most unjust scenes in the history of man, God allowed His Son to die a cruel death on a cross for one like me that didn't deserve it, so that I could stand before that judge and He could say, "Good and faithful servant." Have you received Jesus? Have you called Him your Lord and Master? Have you been obedient to His gospel? If not, why not? And if we can do anything today to assist you in that, we certainly would welcome that opportunity. If you so desire to come today, we certainly would welcome the opportunity to assist you. We invite you to come as we stand and sing the song selected.
Good heavens, let thy one